Yeah.
Okay. You just want to go? Go ahead.
No, just wanted to cut you off. Cut you off right at the knees before you even get going.
It's a new week. And Joshy's still a Richard. How you doing, everybody? Mr. Relevant with you on a Monday. I'm Alex Strofe. Josh DiMaggio with you from the Gerber Law Offices. One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Away we go on a Monday is what I was going to say before I was rudely, I don't even want to say interrupted. I wasn't even talking yet.
No, I just jumped the gun on your patented phrase word for this program, but none other.
What, away we go?
No, it's usually, you always start with a yep.
No, I actually do that on a lot of things. So when we used to do Sports Center updates in Madison, or when I used to do Sports Center updates, I should say, we still do them in Madison at the top of every hour.
Why?
That's not a conversation for right here, right now, Josh. I always started it with, yeah, it is. So I'm a yeah guy. Yeah, yeah, away we go.
It's just something I've noticed.
But you think I do it elsewhere.
You don't typically do it when you're like filling in on Jen Gabachui. I've heard you, obviously, on the Homer Hour. You never start with a yeah.
I should start doing that.
Yeah.
I should be more...
If you're going to make it like Evan Cohen on Sportsman, like, okay, he starts every program like that.
Right.
You seem to mostly always start irrelevant with...
Yeah, yeah. Away we go.
Yeah.
For yeah. someone that, as we have called you, guy drunk, like, this feels like a layup for you to be a yeah guy.
Well,
you're the yeah guy.
You guys aren't WWE fans.
Definitely.
LA Knight, actually. LA Knight, whenever he says something or disses somebody, he goes, yeah. So there might be a little subconscious thing going on there. All right, lot to get into today as we approach closer and closer to the NFL draft. And I believe today will finally be the day we can reveal some of our plans for the NFL draft. So we will do that a bit later for this program. Exciting stuff in the hopper coming up draft week. So we will reveal that a little bit later in the show. We're going to talk to Josh Albrecht of Visit Milwaukee. He's the chief marketing officer of Visit Milwaukee. He's going to join us in about 15 or so minutes. Talk about everything going on in the city of Milwaukee and the state of Wisconsin coming up draft week, including a really cool event over at UWM Panther Arena with Nick Collins, Mason Crosby, Jordy Nelson, a live taping of Inside the Huddle once the draft concludes on Saturday night. So we're going to talk to Josh about that from Visit Milwaukee and everything else going on in the city. And obviously the NCAA tournament was just intense. So curious to get his perspective on that. This is a great city that is a hub for sports. And obviously with the biggest event in football coming to town in a couple of weeks, excited to get his perspective on that. He'll join us in a little bit later. How about the Brewers, baby? Hey, Josh, a trivia question for you. Ready? I bet you know the answer to the trivia question before I answer it or ask it.
I might. I don't know.
Who leads the Milwaukee Brewers in batting average?
I would bet it's Sal Frelick.
His name is Salvatore Frelick, and that would be correct, yes.
Great. What's his slugging percentage?
I don't want to talk about it.
Cool.
You told me to get a new favorite player today?
Yeah.
That offended me?
Yeah, I mean, Sal Frelick is the definition of a jag.
Oh, come on.
He's just a guy.
Don't do that.
He is the ultimate replacement level player.
Don't do that.
He's a fine piece to have. I think most teams, when they look at a Sal Frelick in his production, would say, yeah, we could probably upgrade at that position.
From 378 batting average? What are you talking about?
Yeah, he's leading the team. What are we talking about here?
As we know, and I know, Hunter, I know what you're doing right now. You're supporting your guy.
His guy being Sal.
Batting average is nice, but something like an OPS is far more indicative of somebody who is like a creator, an offensive creator. I do find it interesting that Pat Murphy views Sal Frelick as basically their second leadoff hitter.
Yeah.
Because the idea is basically
one
through five. Hopefully the bases are cleared by those guys, and then we'll just start a new lineup with the B squad.
And the captain of the B squad? Sal Frelick.
I could argue it's Bryce Terang.
Well, he was leading off a little bit this weekend.
He was.
They've been moving him around quite a bit. All right, we'll talk Brewers later. I actually want to lead with this, Joshy. It's a can of worms I want to reopen. Speaking of worms, by the way, you were digging fence posts this weekend?
Doing man work, fellas. My shoulders are burning.
I was just going to say, are you hurting?
I was hurting pretty bad yesterday. Today, not so bad. I did a good job of having some healthy meals to help with that. A little extra protein, a little extra salad, stuff like that.
Healthy meals. Who are you?
Well, if you feel bad or you like, it's a good to get a nice wholesome meal instead of like, hey, let's just go to wherever and grab some food quick. You know, let's get a little salad here. Let's get some veggies into the diet.
I've noticed as you grow more into your mid-30s, you've become much more intentional about how you live.
Yes. Yes.
I don't know what this is news for.
So, here at the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studio, you can just barely make him out on the screen. We have young Riley Yauch here. I was going to jump in on our Brewers conversation, but the phone started to ring, and we're pretty sure that it was the one, the only Steve the Homer True, but dialing our studio. So I felt like
that happens often.
Yeah, just needed to let you guys know that that just happened, and I thought that that was.
Did you want to put him through? We could talk.
We tried to. We were trying to talk to him. I was going to put him through and just put him on the spot, but.
He's done that on Skelzo and Bruss before, where I was like, oh, Homer's calling, and I'll like set it on air, and then we went to him, and it was...
It's a habitual old man move.
Yeah, but back to the intentional thing, yes, as I get older, I realize how much these things affect you, and as, you know, my recovery from having a few too many pops slows down, I realize that, hey, if I just eat some good meals, and it's going to be a long day, I'll feel better the next day. Because before, you know, it's classic hangover. I just want something greasy. Get it in my stomach. Get it out of the way. Not that's not the way to go. You drink a little extra water. Maybe you supplement with a liquid IV. That type of stuff. It helps you.
I like it. Wow.
You'll get there.
Yeah. You know, I had an R&R Saturday. Not a sip of alcohol on Saturday.
I'm proud of you. I don't think I had a sip of alcohol all weekend.
You are turning into somebody I don't know, to be honest with you. When I met you, you're having 16 a night on the weekends.
Yeah, things change. See, you know, it's
people
it's,
grow up.
It's not cost effective to go out that
not.
Often,
no,
which is, you know, as your life changed. Before, when I was a single man living on my own, I had to pay rent, pay the electric bill, and that was, and then internet. Past that. Money was mine to do with whatever. Life changes, you know. Hey, can you stop at the grocery store, do all of this? I can't be like, nah, sorry, I had 16
I had a big
beers.
Night out.
Sorry, I can't pick up dinner.
Wallet's running a little light today. Yeah, no doubt.
So I've had to sort of shift some things around, make some better decisions. We would say
better. I don't know, but proud of you regardless. Okay, I want to reopen this can of worms. Jair Alexander, let's talk about it. Still on the roster. It's April 7th. The idea behind Jair is essentially the Packers would love some trade compensation for him, even if that's as low as a 6th or 7th round pick. They have not moved on from him yet. And, you know, the thought was it was likely going to be, if he was going to be traded for, it would have happened around free agency. Now, as we get closer and closer to the draft, there may be a trade opportunity around the draft. If we get through the draft and there's still nothing, you then are with the opportunity to designate him as a post June 1st cut, save quite a bit of money on your salary cap, and just move on without him. Or you could try it one more time. You could run it back with Jair Alexander. You signed Nate Hobbs. You got Keyshawn Nixon. You've got Carrington Valentine. All of a sudden, if he's healthy, big if, but if he's healthy, it's a pretty good cornerback room you've got all of a sudden. So that is where I go, Joshy. Maybe it shouldn't be over for Jair Alexander in Green Bay, though I think it is. I just don't know if anybody's going to A, trade for him, and B, if Goody or LaFleur are open to the idea of another Jair Alexander experiment in 2025.
Yeah, I think that bridge has long been burnt.
I think it's burnt?
From both ends, both parties have realized we've probably both had missteps. We probably both have run our course with our times together, and it would not make sense, nor would it go well, for the Packers to bring Jaire Alexander back. It just doesn't make sense. You've got Keyshawn Nixon expecting to roll into that CB1. You added Nate Hobbs. And you have Carrington Valentine, who is still Valentine, who is still cheap. And as it stands right now, pending any probably a first two-round pick of a cornerback, he is going to be that other guy with Hobbs sort of bumping down into the slot. I don't know if the Packers, if Matt LaFleur or Brian Gutekunst are willing to withstand the ups and downs that come with him anymore. I think they realize and they know he's a great player. It's just he's not on the field enough for them to bank on him being a factor. The best spot for Jaire would probably be as somebody's like cornerback two, with a better option. And, you know, hey, when you're here, it's great. But whatever ends up happening with Jaire, and it seems like the cornerback market is not strong. Guys are kind of just being let go and, hey, go figure it out.
Yeah, not at this point, yeah.
I don't know if Jaire also has the requisite maturity to let bygones be bygones and not let the things that have bothered him in the past, and I'm not even saying some of the things that have bothered him he's wrong about, because I think Matt LaFleur mishandled the situation of his injury. I also think there's some questioning from the front office of, this guy, while being able to play, is choosing not to. He is injured, or he is hurt, but he's not injured. He should be out there playing at 90%. Jaire prefers to be 98% or better. I think what happened in Chicago with him playing, what was it, 10 snaps, and then no longer seeing the field, those are all things I think are really hard to look past. With the way football is like that brotherhood, and we're out there fighting for each other, and then you suit up your pads, and then you say, not going today. Doesn't work. I find it really hard to believe that both those parties are going to be able to go, we tried to trade you. It didn't work, so just come on back.
Yeah. No, I hear you. The bygones be bygones part, when we think of like his track record in terms of being upset or being frustrated, I don't know what he wouldn't be able to let go of, right? A lot of it was Joe Barry at one point. Now, the hurt or injured part and the way he was talked about, maybe. But wouldn't that give you a chip on your shoulder to say, hey, I can prove them wrong. I can be healthy. I can still be an elite corner, right? I think he's the fifth highest paid corner in the league right now, and obviously in terms of an annual average.
I mean, with Jaire Alexander, I think I've learned, and the Packers have learned, his word only goes so far. He remember how contrite and it seemed like after he made the decision to make himself captain, almost blew the coin toss and then got suspended. He seemed like, oh, things are going to go better. And then Xavier McKinney comes to town. They change the defense. They're running things again. And it seems like everything's going to be hunky-dory. We're going to have Jaire going full blast again. I think at this point, you have to let his actions speak louder than his words. And thus far, in the most recent years, he's played in 50% of games. He's had multiple mishaps of either speaking out of order, appearing out of order, or just not frankly being available, where it's, we love you when you're on the field, but we don't think you can be on the field enough for it to make sense for us to keep paying you and keep making you a part of our plans. I also think the Matt LaFleur relationship, and I have no reason to say this other than him saying we don't really talk or we don't have a relationship, would lead me to believe that he probably isn't too fond of the head coach himself.
Now, that would obviously be a deal breaker, right? That would obviously change things up in terms of the expectations. But I don't know. Hunter, let me get an outside perspective from you. As a Cowboys fan, as you view this, is the Jaire situation repairable?
I don't think so. But like the problem is you're going to have to deal with the ramifications of like releasing him and with the dollar amounts and everything like that. Or you just deal with him being on your roster. Because like no one's trading for him. So it's a really tough spot for the Packers. I don't envy them at all with this situation. The Cowboys have had this with a few guys in the past, and it hasn't been good. So I think he ends up with the Packers just because I don't think they are going to want to release him. And they're going to see if maybe they can just figure out some way to just make this work.
Yeah. I'm so intrigued by it. I didn't expect it to drag on this long. And Josh, I don't know if you did either. Like, I thought we'd have a solution to the Jaire Alexander issue.
Yeah.
Come a week or two into free agency at the latest, let alone here we are on April 7th, 2 weeks out from the NFL draft.
The draft was always the deadline to me, but I thought they would figure out they were just going to cut bait earlier because they didn't have the... Obviously, if nothing has happened right now, and I can't imagine Brian Gutekunst is getting offers for Jaire Alexander, and he's going, nope, not good enough. With how long this is carried on for? Is it dragged?
All of the above? Sure. Yeah, I know. I'm the vocabulary guy around here. I'm the right guy to ask.
This is dragged on long enough where even a seventh rounder.
I feel like that would be enough to get it done, especially with how much the contract is worth.
Yes. Yeah, so the deadline with him because of his contract can go like into training camp, honestly.
Yeah.
I believe it's like it's not a June 1st thing. It's somewhere, whatever it is even by the draft, they don't have to make a decision because they won't be on the hook for his money. If he is past that date, then there is an issue with him counting against the salary cap. But right now, they can just wait it out. And I don't know, could the Packers be waiting for some team to get desperate? We didn't get the cornerback we wanted, so maybe we kick the tires on a Jaire contract, because he's going to want a new one.
Yeah.
And the team's going to want to put him on a new one because they're going to make it incentive-laden.
Yeah.
How often are you on the field, and how are you producing for the team?
Do you play X amount of games? Right.
Right.
No doubt about that.
And it's probably like an escalator, kind of like what we saw with Jordan Love and his contract that they gave him instead of the 5-year option of,
yeah,
you play 10 games, you get this much, you play 12, 14, 16, yeah, like it ascends from there.
Which I don't know if you can be confident that he'll play those amount, but we will we will see. All right, speaking of the NFL draft, let's get into this. Looking forward to this conversation. Joining us now is the Chief Marketing Officer of Visit Milwaukee. It's Josh Albrecht, the host of the Josh and Aran Milwaukee podcast here at Good Karma as well. Josh, thanks for being here, my friend. How are you doing?
Doing fantastic. It's a beautiful Monday. Super excited for the NFL draft coming up, and we've got Milwaukee Tailgate Week to help celebrate it.
Yeah, we're going to get into Milwaukee Tailgate Week a bit, but I mean, it is obviously an awesome opportunity for my hometown of Green Bay. It's obviously an awesome opportunity for my current city of Milwaukee and statewide, right? Everything going on. When you caught wind that the NFL draft a little over a year ago was coming to Milwaukee, or excuse me, to Green Bay, you probably did a little fist pump, right? Like, oh yeah, baby, Milwaukee's going to be buzzing that week.
Yeah, I mean, of course. I think everybody in Wisconsin did, right? Right. It is a statewide celebration for sure. But being a history buff, immediately it was like, hey, has this ever happened before? 1939.
Really?
It was in Milwaukee.
I don't even know if I knew that.
Yeah, it was at the Schrader Hotel, which we now know as the Hilton, right downtown
sure.
here. Was in their ballroom. So this is the second time the NFL draft has been in Wisconsin in the NFL's history.
You're breaking news to me. I guess I didn't realize that. Now, in my defense, 1939, a little bit before I was on this earth.
Yeah, a little before all of our time, for sure. But it just really reaffirms how this is a once-in-a-lifetime.
No doubt.
Moment that we got to take advantage of and really experience and celebrate together as Wisconsinites, as Green Bayers.
Green Bayans, maybe? Green Bayans? I don't know that we have a nickname like Milwaukeeans. Yeah. Joshy, any thoughts?
Yeah.
Green Bayers?
I got nothing.
Yeah. It's got to be something.
Green Bayans?
Hunter, that can you look into that?
Green Bay native nickname?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, it's the Packers. Just anybody up there.
Cheeseheads.
Cheeseheads. Yeah,
right. So, Josh, Milwaukee Tailgate Week. Tell us what this is and how the idea behind this came to be, because obviously an awesome opportunity to put our awesome city on display at a national level.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, it sort of started in many ways what you just described. Like, we heard the draft was coming to Green Bay. We were working with our partners at Discover Green Bay, Travel Wisconsin, the NFL, the Packers. And we said, how can we make sure that Milwaukee is top of mind during this great opportunity? We know fans already, during a normal Packers game, fans stay here. They fly into Milwaukee. They drive into Milwaukee. They stay here. They take the shuttle buses up, or they use this as their home base. We said, people are going to be doing this for the draft as well. And so how can we capture that moment? How can we be a part of this? And so we started working with all of our partners, and then we just said, you know, we got to find a way that people sort of use us, but also experience the city and stay overnight. Because obviously, Visit Milwaukee, our goal is to get people to stay the night at our hotels and experience the city. So rallied up all of our partners. We actually started talking last August. So it's been a while. We've been having the conversation with partners, our hotel partners, people like Pottawatomie Casino and Hotel, who's our big premier partner for Tailgate Week. We started talking to Team Lammy, who many know is works often with Donald Driver and others, bringing them into the fold. And then we just started adding partners and adding to the list. Journey House came on and Milwaukee City Tours came on. And before you knew it, we have this whole coalition of people looking to do stuff. And now all of our, many of our Visit Milwaukee partners, whether it's the Milwaukee Brat House or Stenny's or whoever, they're all doing stuff, right? They're doing shuttle buses up. And we're just trying to bring all that together in one spot so people can see what's happening and then make their plans to go up, experience the draft, come back and party in Milwaukee.
So are you going to be doing a little bit of both, partying in Green Bay, partying in Milwaukee? What's your plan for draft week?
Well, my plan is definitely to stick around in Milwaukee. We've got too many things going on.
You got to oversee
time.
A few things,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but, you know, so that's what we want, that tailgate experience here. People can have a lot of fun. Some of our team members will be going up to experience the draft, of course. We went last year, so our Sports Milwaukee division, which helps recruit tournaments and sporting events to the city. They went to the draft last year in Detroit, experienced it firsthand, saw what it was like, saw the masses of people experiencing the city. We've talked with our friends in Kansas City and Chicago and other destinations who've hosted the draft. So we kind of know how it works.
You said something there that I would have never thought Visit Milwaukee has, is you guys have a division of people who just simply recruit to bring tournaments here. Like, how big does that go? What does that all entail? Is that mainly, are you focusing on like high school or when it comes to like some of the college level stuff? Like, how does that even work?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. It's a huge question.
I would have never thought, I just thought it was the people who worked for the venue then were like, yeah, why don't you have a tournament here? That'll be fun.
Yeah, we're sort of the connector to all that.
Gotcha.
Right? So yeah, we've got a team of three full-time people who are our Sports Milwaukee division. Mm-hmm. And we do everything from NCAA rounds one and two, helping Marquette, helping the Fiserv recruit that. And we're sort of the hotel arm, the visitor arm of that, right? To smaller things like volleyball tournaments at the Baird Center, we recruit those, or Pettit Ice Arena, you name it, curling. If it's a sport, we've touched it in some way.
Wow,
and helped bring it here.
Fascinating.
You have an interesting job, dude.
Dude, it's multifaceted.
Yeah,
that's the word.
Yeah, I thought you guys were just like, "Hey, Milwaukee's cool, come here."
I mean, that is like that's our mission statement.
That's the core of things.
Hey, this place is sweet. Get over here.
Yeah, come on over, join the party. But yeah, but it gets layered for sure. It gets layered from there, and it's whether it's recruiting Baird Center, Fiserv, all the other venues, and then that's the beautiful thing about the Baird Center is people are like, "Oh, it's just conventions," or just like the gaming convention that was this past weekend, right? Man, it's volleyball. It's fencing coming up this year. It's USA Wrestling's coming here this year. That's all stuff that our team helps recruit and work with the planners and tournament directors to bring to the city.
Do you sleep?
We try to, for sure. It's only a few hours a night.
Yeah,
we do.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, it's part of the fun, and it's a great city to help sell.
So you mentioned the, and I might be off base here, but you mentioned the event that was happening here. We've, on this show, because of the time frame and us looking out here at the Third Street Market Hall, we see a lot of the conventions that happen. We saw, like, the Furry Festival come into town. There was the board game convention, and then there's, like, a tattoo. Are you guys involved in even that level of non-sport related and recruiting those?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Each one you named, we have a hand in.
So how do we
get there?
Yeah, right. But I guess, like, how do you find conventions that are they in, like, neighboring, or maybe not neighboring, but close cities, right? Chicago, Minneapolis?
Yeah. Well, the great thing is that there's conventions for conventions. So we go to conventions.
Wait a minute.
I know. That's like, you ever seen the movie Inception?
Yeah, one of my favorites.
Next level conventions.
You guys love conventions.
But seriously, that's you go out and you recruit them and you send out RFPs, you do the whole process. And that's how the draft happened too. Like, the draft is the same way. You know, the Packers and Discover Green Bay had a coalition. We lent our expertise when asked, but they led that. The Packers led it. Mm-hmm. And they had to recruit the NFL right. to come host it in Green Bay. Same thing for every type of convention, every type of sporting event that comes to Milwaukee.
Yeah, and with the draft, I mean, I know it was a big initiative of Mark Murphy's, the president and CEO of the Packers, the outgoing president and CEO. It was a big initiative of his prior to his retirement that he wanted to get the draft here. This was not like a one-year thing either, right? So I imagine you've been in the loop on this for years and years between Visit Milwaukee and Discover Green Bay.
Oh, definitely, yeah. It's definitely not a, you know, turn it around in one-year time. It's definitely a multi-year, decades in the making sometimes, depending on the event. NFL draft was definitely years in the making. We started working closely with Dr. George Kuntz, former Packer. Yeah. He worked for our committee last summer to help keep us informed throughout the process and has really helped the local Milwaukee connection and contingency help promote. So he was on the committee that sort of was the recruitment committee to bring the draft to Green Bay as well. So we used his expertise. We worked with Discover Green Bay and the NFL and Travel Wisconsin, and it just sort of finally all came together in a beautiful spot.
So you go ahead, Josh.
Do you guys have any estimates on how many people are going to be in Milwaukee specifically? Because I believe the draft said, the people up in Green Bay said it was going to be about 250,000. As we know, Green Bay cannot hold that many people. And obviously one of the most logical stops is right here in Milwaukee, because I also imagine many Milwaukee residents are going to be making the way as much as people coming in from other parts of the country.
Oh, yeah, definitely. An estimate on number of people from Milwaukee or coming to Milwaukee. Can't really put a number on it, but yeah, hundreds of thousands going to Green Bay. We're going to, what I can say is, occupancy for hotels.
Yeah.
Starting at the beginning of this year, the last week of April is a rough week traditionally. It's spring. It's not right. a lot going on. And this year it's the same week as Easter. So Easter Sunday hits then draft week begins. Easter Sunday is typically a lower occupancy, lower overnight stay day. So we had some things going against us. The draft is going to lift that up. So we were at 10% occupancy draft week in January. We're now up mid-50s for occupancy.
Wow.
So our hotel stays are dramatically increasing the closer we get to the NFL draft, which says to us, people are not finding the hotel they need in Green Bay, which, as we all know, and you just said, not a lot of hotels in Green Bay. And now they're starting to find alternate places to call home during draft week, which is why we did tailgate week, right?
Yeah.
So, come to Milwaukee. We're going to have things for you to do here, and then you can go up to Green Bay and then come back and still party here. So that's why that was definitely the reason. So,
branding it tailgate was genius on your guys' part, because it is perfect here. Get ready to go up if you're planning to, or if you just want to hang out. That is an awesome way to phrase it. It's part of it. It's part of the deal.
Part of the deal, and it's so synonymous with our culture, right?
Yes.
Like, we know how to tailgate in Milwaukee, and so let's capitalize on that and just throw a killer party. So that's what we said, okay. Hey, Jordy Nelson, you want to come help us out?
I was going to get to that guy.
Hey, Nick Collins, can you come help us out?
And they happily said yes, I imagine. What Josh is referring to is kind of a bow on draft week, right? It's Saturday night, 5 o'clock at UWM Panther Arena. It's Jordy Nelson's Milwaukee tailgate inside the Huddle Live. Mason Crosby will be there. Nick Collins will be there. It's a 5 o'clock start. Doors open at 3 o'clock at Panther Arena. Tell us how this came to be and where people can get tickets, because this seems like an awesome way to cap off draft week.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking with our friends at Team Lammy, and we wanted to really showcase, you know, Packers history, NFL pride, football, Milwaukee. And so we said, let's have this tailgate and we're going to put it all together and let people come and hear firsthand accounts of what it was like for some of our legends and our favorite players of all time. What the draft experience was like for them, right? And if we can have them talking about their draft experience and their football experience during the draft, actually, and as you said, put a capper on it. It's at the close, the last day. Draft will finish probably 3 or 4 p.m. You can go and immediately get that response from some legends about what it was like, what they were feeling on draft day, what it meant for them when they started their career. And those stories are always so exciting. You know, like what it was like for them as they were just getting ready for stardom. So we're going to hear that live and inside the huddle. I'm sure many of your listeners, all of us have watched that show for years. There's a great stat that Team Lammy says, more episodes. It's something crazy. It's like, and I'm not going to get it right, but it's something like more episodes than Cheers, MASH, and like Dateline.
It has been around forever. Yeah.
So it's a legendary show, legendary players. You can see it live. First time it's ever been recorded and filmed outside of Green Bay. So this is, if you want to see it, this is a once a lifetime opportunity to see it live as well. So if you're a fan of the show, fan of the players, you can come see it. And then after we do the filming, we'll have a Q&A so people in the audience can ask questions directly to Jordy and Mason Crosby and Nick Collins about their experience or just whatever they want to ask.
By the way, all three guys scored points in Super Bowl 45. Obviously, Nick Collins with the pick six, right? And Mason Crosby obviously kicked a few in, and we know what Jordy did in that game. So that's pretty awesome. Three Super Bowl champs as well on top of three former Packers draftees. Visit Milwaukee.org is where people can find tickets for that.
That's right. Visit Milwaukee.org/tailgate. You can get tickets and give you listeners a little note. If you do code VISIT, 50% off your GA tickets. So
code VISIT, use it.
Code VISIT, visitmilwaukee.org/tailgate. And by the way, GA tickets only 10 bucks. So that makes them $5 a pop.
$5 a pop.
What a deal.
Yeah. We want this to be super family friendly.
Yeah.
Again, we want people to come. It's like, you know, once in a lifetime, cool experience. Maybe you can't get up to Green Bay, or maybe you were up there Thursday night and you're like, oh, I still got something to do this weekend. Just come be a part of history, right? Seize the moment, live it. Talk about it forever.
I love it. Josh Albrecht, the CMO of Visit Milwaukee. Visitmilwaukee.org/tailgate is the website. I'm going to let you get out of here, get some sleep. By the way, before we let you go, though, Hunter has an update for us on the Green Bay resident nickname. Hunter, go ahead.
So Google AI said Green Bayite, but I also found people from Thunder Bay, Canada go by Thunder Bites. So I think Green Bites might be the way to go.
All right, we're going to work on that.
I think Cheesehead is probably the right answer.
Yeah, I think we got to roll with that. Maybe toss that to Jordy, Collins, and Crosby.
Yeah, we'll ask him that question on Saturday night.
Ask your people up in Green Bay. What do you guys got going on here? We're looking for a word.
Yeah. Go and visit at visitmilwaukee.org/tailgate. Josh Albrecht, thanks so much, man. Thanks for stopping in.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
That was awesome. Josh, I'm so pumped up for draft week.
I couldn't be more excited. And the Jordy Nelson tailgate thing to me is so awesome because Nick Collins is one of my all-time favorite Packers. And we don't get to see much of him. And you felt like his career, because it was cut short due to injury, like left you wanting more. So the ability to go see to him, ask him a question, just see how he's doing. It was really cool to hear him on Wildy and Talish, but in that Q&A setting, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it is. He's coaching college ball now.
His alma mater, I thought.
Yeah,
maybe it was at Bethune-Cookman.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah. I think he's the cornerback's coach.
Yeah, now, so that, I mean, he, to me, like a top five Packer for me all time, which is a really unique experience.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Again, visitmilwaukee.org/tailgate, the website for that. A big thanks to Josh Albrecht for stopping in by us and sharing a little bit of everything going on. I mean, I mentioned to Josh off the air a little bit, like Saturday was the first day I like
R&R
did nothing. I did nothing.
Just watch hoops.
Yeah. I took the dog on like an hour and a half walk. It was lovely.
Wow. That little thing can go that far.
Yeah. So my dog's probably 12 pounds now. She's gaining a little bit of weight, which is good.
Good thing you got her out in an 11 hour half walk.
Yeah. I mean, we were walking through parks. We took the river walk a little bit, which is why I love Milwaukee, even living downtown, right? Like you can still walk a little dog around. So yeah, we got out for a nice walk, but otherwise laid on the couch. I took a nap. I watched a bunch of hoops. It was awesome. And I just spent, and naturally, given our line of work, Josh, like, I'm just thinking, okay, draft week. What are we going to do? Draft week. So I'm cooking things up in my head, and it's just going to be, I'm so freaking excited.
When are you going to let me do the Mr. Irrelevant official mock draft?
How about tomorrow?
We can do that.
All right. Tomorrow in the podcast feed, Apple
Actually,
Podcast, Spotify.
I'm doing the master special for On the Tee.
Oh, you're joining On the Tee?
I'm producing it for both Steven and Gabriel. Okay.
Well, this week.
I was going to say.
It. We're 2 weeks away on Thursday.
Yeah, so then I feel like maybe we do it Wednesday going into it, and then we can actually have it on video. There's some creative things we can do on that end. You know, actually make people on YouTube enjoy it and be able to have fun with that, too, along with us. Got to think about those fans,
enough.
Too, Strofe.
Yeah, you're right. I'm just trying to appease everybody, Hunter. You know that's one of my downfalls. All right, now Hunter, get the air horn ready because I think we should reveal what we've got going on draft week. I think it's time to tell everybody what Mr. Irrelevant's going to be up to during the week of the draft, which is 2 weeks from today. Right, we are 13 days away from Easter Sunday. Mentioned I happen to be a Green Bay area native, so I'll be up in Green Bay Easter Sunday, and then all of a sudden, pow, Monday is draft week. So I decided, I called my brother. I said, hey, man, just, you know, I'm coming up for Easter, but I'm not leaving for a week. I'm gonna stay in Green Bay. Mr. Relevant, for whatever reasons, Joshy, and Hunter. Our bosses green-lit us doing middays all week. We are going to be on the air, 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, 12 to 2, each and every way of draft week, live. I will be live in Green Bay all week. Joshy's going to join me up in Green Bay. I think Hunter might be too Thursday. And then I don't know if you'll be with me Friday or not.
I will be.
You'll be up in Green Bay again Friday?
Yes, I will be there Thursday through Sunday morning.
Oh, baby.
Yes.
Look at you.
I will be leaving Jen, Gabe, and Chewy going straight up to be on the air at noon.
All right. So Thursday, Friday, Joshy and I live in Green Bay. I will be there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We are going to have a ton of interviews. We're going to have some cool conversations with different people from around the globe, both in sports and outside of sports that we already have some lined up, still working on getting some lined up. We're going to be all over the city and, you know, it's my hometown. Obviously this means a ton to me and this being in Green Bay means a ton to me. So, I was a little selfish, when I pitched this. I was like, look, nobody knows the city like Alex Trof. Cut him loose for a week. Go ahead, Hunter.
You told me to get the air horn ready, but the way in which you presented that did not allow me to use. That was bad.
Can I retry? Take two?
Yep.
Restart.
12 p.m. to 2 p.m. Monday through Friday, NFL Draft Week, Mr. Irrelevant coming to you live in the podcast feed, on YouTube, on the radio.
No.
Josh, you want to give a shot?
I think it needs to just simply, you need a punch.
Oh, like, okay, I could steal one, a very well-known one.
Yes.
Live from Green Bay, it's draft week on Mr. Irrelevant.
Yes, there you go. That's how you
Much
do it.
Better.
And then you explain. And then you explain, we'll be on ESPN 100.5, Green Bay. Green Bay, Jesus. Beaver Dam, the two word there. Got
from Green Bay, yeah.
Yes, so I think that's how you do it. You give the big announcement, the pow.
Live from Green Bay, it's Mr. Irrelevant Draft Week.
Yes.
I don't know who has the last pick in the draft. I don't think I'm going to be able to convince them to draft me.
No, but what I think you could do, and it might be a fun thing to try and start and do, is just have that guy on. And even if it's 3 minutes, you ask five total questions.
Yeah.
It feels like that would be the right way to treat, especially this one. If you're able to pull it off, obviously, nobody knows who that's going to be.
Right.
But getting that guy on for even just 3 minutes, quick little interview, that'd be great.
I'm looking
Green Bay picks.
Ooh, Strofe, you might be able to make this happen given the team that has the Mr. Irrelevant pick. You have a connection to this team. Someone you worked with.
Okay, this is fun. Oh, the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah. We
Our
worked
buddy
with,
Chris Orr.
Yeah. So I think
show?
We can make that happen.
Yeah. I can't imagine the last pick of any NFL draft is getting a lot of interview requests. So I got it.
Oh, I don't know about that. Don't they go to Disney World?
They do get that. Yes, that moment. They get like, isn't it like a car? Too?
I think so. Yeah.
So there is that, but I can't imagine past like those, hey, you were the last guy picked type thing. Come week two, I can't imagine many people are knocking down Mr. Irrelevant's door.
That's a good point. Yeah, we'll work on that. We'll work on that. We do have the correctly named program to reach out to that person.
Mr. Irrelevant would like to have Mr. Irrelevant on the program.
That would be a great title of a podcast. Mr. Irrelevant joins Mr. Irrelevant.
Yes.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. I don't know how much time I'm going to have. Like, I act like a week is a month. I don't plan on sleeping very much, but if you got any ideas of things to get into in Green Bay, you're more than welcome to let me know.
All I feel like I really know right now that they're doing for sure is the dive bar recreation.
Yeah, I did hear about that.
Which I feel like is something you have to, or we.
And then they'll have the full-blown NFL draft experience, which of course includes the 40-yard dash, which naturally I have to do that.
Yes, you gotta go a little redemption.
Yep. And then you can finally actually get under 6 seconds.
Well, because it will be electronically timed, and that's going to be more accurate than Joshy or Brad Nortman or Ben Brust.
Electronically timed?
Yeah, it is.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or it's even worse for you.
Yeah, it's like 6'4".
Or Josh, we were too generous. Friendly.
Wouldn't doubt it. Wouldn't doubt it. So, anyway, draft week coming up 2 weeks from today. We will be live from Green Bay, beginning at noon each and every day of draft week, which I'm really, really pumped about and appreciative for. Be real, real emotional with you. I mean, this is Josh Albright kept saying, right? Once in a lifetime. And it truly is. And to have something like this in the backyard of a place I grew up is pretty bonkers. And like, you're already seeing the pictures of the redesign. They're building the stage. They're knocking out fence posts. They're knocking down little buildings just to already get everything set up. So, I mean, I'm pretty optimistic, Joshy, that maybe at one point during our Monday show, I might be able to, or maybe prior to the Monday show, I might be able to walk around and maybe see the stage up close and personal. I'm not going to say get on the stage, but get close to the stage. Maybe
I think you should try and get on the stage.
Yeah. What if I wound up in jail day one?
It'd be good for the program. It'd be something to talk about. Ended up in the old slammer in Green Bay.
Slammer, yeah.
But having your brother come bail you out of jail. That'd be great.
And for the arrest records, you'd have to say that your name is Mr. Irrelevant. Get the show notoriety then, because you get the like police report in the newspaper.
That sounds illegal, but I like the idea. Yeah.
I believe that would tack on a false identity charge as well.
Worth it.
Alex Irrelevant is the name.
I bet they'd buy that as far as they could throw me. Okay, well, what position group are the Packers going to draft? What's your guy? I'm going to ask you this every episode until the draft, day one.
It's still edge and defensive line. As I stated, I think it was when we might have done this once before, I have wide receiver up there. Them bringing in Matthew Golden for a top 30 visit, very, very interesting. Very as we interesting. Also noted, Goody was the only NFL GM at Tet McMillan's private workout. It wasn't a pro day.
He's going to be a top 10 pick.
I don't think so. I think you'll be surprised.
Okay.
All indications I have seen is that the Draft Industrial Complex, the online Twitter people, the me's and you's who pay attention to this, are higher on him than the NFL actually is. Which, him sliding into the back end of some of the bigger named guys' drafts, I think is informative. But what it really tells you is there's probably 4 to 5 guys that are could be first round picks at wide receiver, and nobody really knows how to organize them because I think a lot of people have them ranked very separately. If you start looking at person by person what the rankings actually make out to be, there is no Marvin Harrison Jr. Mm-hmm. There's no Malik Nabers, and they'd be lucky to find themselves a Brian Thomas Jr.
Totally. Now,
so that's why I think it's a big mishmash.
I think we might have talked about this on Friday, Hunter, when Joshua was off. This just seems like a wide receiver hungry year, though, where teams might overcompensate or reach for a wide receiver talent. That's why I think Tet McMillan might be a top 10 pick. And if he's not a top 10 pick, I think he's going early teens.
It might be, but there's a lot of depth at both edge and defensive line, which I think is going to force a lot of people's hands. There's now Omarion Hampton is just considered a first round draft pick, the running back who was not talked about that for much of the process. And now people are like, hey, this guy's going a lot higher than you think. I've seen Jaden Higgins slip into the end of the first round, the kid from Iowa State. It's like 6'4".
Yeah, I've seen that as well.
He's a perfect, like, he meets all the Packers' measurables, big RAS guy, also pretty productive. It'll be interesting to see how it goes. And then if you add in there, for whatever reason, say a team like the Steelers decide, hey, Jackson Dart, we want the fifth-year option. Let's just take him. That's where the draft get interesting, and some guys that we thought weren't going to slide end up sliding because, for whatever reason, all teams agreed he was the fifth best option at wide receiver versus the third or fourth.
Dude, it is it's here.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is my favorite time of the year that isn't actually playing games.
Here's what I want to do Wednesday. I want you to, let's just do a here's what you need to know, and we can do a little mock draft if you want, or bring me your mock draft results, but for somebody like me, who, and we will get to this in a bit, tonight is the last college basketball game of the season.
Yeah.
Right? Houston, Florida, it's the national championship game, Florida 1-point favorites, Houston's epic comeback over Duke. This ends the college basketball season tonight. Therefore, the next 2+ weeks, I'm all in on the NFL draft.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be watching YouTube videos of highlight tapes. I'm going to be reading into RAS scores and top 30 visits, which, by the way, as I've said a few times this offseason, keep an eye on those top 30 visits, people, that the Packers are taking. That does not always indicate their early pick. But on average, in the Brian Gutekunst era, you're walking away with about 4.5 top 30 visits that end up on your roster,
mm-hmm.
Especially in those middle rounds, 2 to 5. He visits with those guys, and ultimately maybe he takes them a little bit earlier, but once you get into those rounds, it's just, who do you like, right? Who do you have a good grade on? Who did you have a good experience with? It's about 4 to 5 guys every top 30 or every draft class that the Packers had a top 30 visit with. So keep an eye on some of those names, because the Packers are going to land some of them in those middle rounds. The next 2.5 weeks, I'll be nose first grinding, figuring everything out. So Wednesday, because you're a guy that's a nerd about this, and Hunter a little bit to a point as well, like, you guys have been all in for over a month at this point. Can you bring me, like, a here's what you need to know if you didn't already know?
You're looking for draft overview, not necessarily Packers related. Like,
all of the above.
This is a position of depth that...
Yes, that would be helpful.
I could put something together that I think would be informative to both you and the fans.
Love it. That's my guy right there.
Because there's a lot, and every draft is different. Things have changed also with, like, how some players have, as I was saying, like, everyone thought Tet McMillan was like a surefire top 10 pick. Shamar Stewart, after he blew up the combine, the Texas A&M edge, everyone was like, oh, that guy's not making it the Packers pick. And then everybody is like, well, actually, no, he might actually be there for the Packers.
And by the way, top 30 visit.
Yes. Yes.
Just saying.
Yeah, no, that I've started at the point of, this guy had 4.5 sacks. Why? Of course the Packers would be interested. But then you listen to some people who are actually like grinding tape, not me just watching a highlight being like, oh, that guy's sick. those people are like, yeah, but at Texas A&M, they're not really doing traditional pass rushing. That's not how offenses function. So they're taking their best athletes and having them play like sort of a hybrid edge/middle linebacker where it's go find the ball.
I mean, I would just throw out there, the last guy the Packers picked out of Texas A&M ended up having a pretty good rookie year. That, of course, would be Edgerrin Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he worked out all right.
Yeah, yeah. Athleticism does matter as much as people, it's RAS score, he relies too much on it. Go look at the best NFL players and what their athletic testing is. Almost to a man, they're all like a top 10% of the athletic testing.
What was Jordan Love's RAS score? I'm going to look that up. Go ahead, Hunter. You got something to say. I can hear you.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, I wouldn't rely too much on that. Well, the last guy they took from that school was good, because then that's how you end up with a bunch of Georgia guys.
Goody does that. Yeah, right. Goody does that.
Well, right now, I can say with confidence that the one he picked from Texas A&M was better than any he picked from Georgia.
So far, yes.
So maybe we got something good. Maybe we're going to reverse the curse.
Yeah, go Aggies, baby.
So the Packers are going to be the Texas A&M version of the Eagles with Georgia?
Yes.
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 It might leave a little bit to be desired, but hey, we had a first little dance with it. It went well. Probably going to get even better.
Yeah. Like
Edgerrin Cooper, had he played a full, he might have been Defensive Rookie of the Year.
He would be in the conversation.
Had he played a full season? Let's back it up with another one. Why not?
Brewers back to .500 after winning 3 of 4 over the Cincinnati
Reds. I do want
Reds
to issue a quick correction here. I looked it up.
Uh-oh.
Sal Frelick actually currently is the leader in OPS just slightly.
Wow!
Yes.
Apologize.
I apologize to Salvador Frelick. I do expect him to drop to the bottom of the pack in this once we get about midway through the season.
I don't know why.
That was an apology. I said sorry.
Why are you such a hater?
He's on your favorite team. Why don't you root for him?
Because I don't like that style of player.
Okay.
And
you don't like that I root for
yes,
him?
Yeah, yes.
You don't want to see me happy and vindicated.
No, it's like Bryce Terang just got his platinum glove over the weekend. He's added power. He can hit. He's
I
driving
love Bryce
into the
Terang.
Gaps. But you talk about Salvatore Frelick 20x times.
That's accurate.
More.
He's also my favorite player.
Yeah, get a better player.
Want to know what I found out yesterday?
Bryce Terang's also second
pride
in strikeouts. Just
fine.
Want to point that out.
What year is this? Is it 1989? We care about strikeouts?
A little bit.
No.
I'd rather you get a
put the ball in play.
It doesn't matter. An out's an out.
That's true, but I'd rather you get a bat on the ball. Give yourself a chance rather than no chance, you know?
Yeah.
It's as simple as that, brother.
But we determined that...
Yeah, we're killing him.
We determined that that's irrelevant. Speaking of Mr. Irrelevant, an out is an out.
No, but if the ball's in play, less irrelevant.
No.
Yes.
No.
Want to know what I found out yesterday? Craig Karmazin, also a huge Sal Frelick fan, he pitched the idea for a giveaway of giving away Sal Frelick jersey shirts, but having them already look dirty because he's always sliding everywhere. So like having pre-printed dirt, call it Dirty Sal giveaway. I love it. Isn't that a brilliant idea?
The Dirty Sal.
The Brewers currently only have 6 players eligible, like with the amount of at-bats in the MLB. Sal Frelick leads OPS 911. Right behind him, Jackson Chourio 880.
Yeah,
right behind him, Bryce Turang.
Nice.
Then the drop-off goes all the way down to Christian Yelich, who's at 500 for OPS. Not where you want to be.
Not where you want to be.
Yeah, he's
good for Bryce. Good for Sal, though. These young up-and-comers providing early here as the Brewers are 500 and lacking a pitching staff, but they'll be all right.
I look forward to the next 111-mile-per-hour single that Salvatore Frelick laces out right to the fielder and moves him into first base. That'll be awesome.
See, but agreed. I was listening to the broadcast right here on 100.5 ESPN Madison, Madison's new home for the Brewers, by the way, yesterday, and they were talking about on the broadcast how, like, they knew that Sal putting on this muscle wasn't going to lead to more home runs. Like, this was the point for him, was that they wanted him to be hitting the ball harder and still being that singles guy. Like, he's doing exactly what they wanted out of this. He's just, he's going to hit the ball harder. They're
going to
be
singles.
Better hit.
I want singles more than strikeouts. Tell you that much.
Thanks. Good. Yes, you want a hit versus, I want a home run versus a single. Now what?
Well said.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, you know what's even better? A 2-run home run when you've got Sal going second in the order.
Yeah, that's true. It's a great point by Hunter.
He's not going to be hitting 2.
I do have some breaking news for you. Not that breaking, but it's interesting news nonetheless. Back to the NFL we go. Back to Green Bay we go. And we get a little show tie here. After spending Friday and Saturday visiting with the Dallas Cowboys, Ohio State wide receiver Emeka Ibuka is visiting today and tomorrow with the Green Bay Packers.
That's very interesting.
That is interesting.
Yeah, it makes sense. If the Packers have kicked the tires on the two guys we mentioned, Golden, did we mention that they visited with him already?
Yeah, you said that.
Ibuka would make sense. What are you doing? Why are you doing that?
I'm not saying. I'm just saying.
Hold on.
This might be the year. It might be the year they finally pick a receiver.
I'm not allowing you to take claim on the Packers might draft a wide receiver. That's been my take. You can't take thief.
I'm not take thiefing.
You're take thiefing.
You're
trying to get the little video of you doing the Brian Windhorst. I'm just saying.
I've been on a big Brian Windhorst just saying kick recently.
Especially the way he handled getting slandered by Braun. Girl, LeBron. But back to the Packers are either what they're telling us is they are strongly considering at that position drafting a wide receiver. Now, it might happen where, if I were to guess, if Shamar Stewart's there, they're taking that guy.
Yeah, I tend to agree.
I think he's going to grade out higher than pretty much any of those wide receivers just based on need and position. But if those guys aren't there,
they might go edge receiver first 2 rounds.
They could.
That'd be fun.
And could they get aggressive and maybe try and sneak up and take a early in the second? Yes. Everyone talks about Brian Gutekunst trading back, which is generally the smart thing to do in terms of like value. People usually give up way too much to go up and get a guy who, as we know, we have no idea how good they actually are going to be or not. But those are all first round picks.
Yeah.
So that means they're at least interested. And it does what it does really do, and I think is very interesting. It contextualizes how upset we were with the Packers not even calling Devontae Adams, mm-hmm. with not being in on the DK Metcalf thing, despite the reports of them being in on it, which were seem to be inaccurate now if we kind of all zoom out from it. It seems like the Packers were a useful pawn in that whole...
That's what it seems like, yes.
Yeah. But it tells us that Brian Gutekunst views the lack of a wide receiver one issue as big as we do. Now, he didn't do it the way we wanted.
Do the thing.
I'm not doing
it. Do the thing with your fingers. Come on, do it. Do it. Come on, do it.
Come on, Josh. This is not, do it.
To me...
Yes. What's on your finger?
The clip for this board here, the little boogie board we got, I think Tosh calls it.
Whiteboard?
Yep, that's it, boogie board. But it does tell you that the brass in Green Bay agrees with us.
Mm.
The Packers have an issue at wide receiver one.
Mm.
Now, I don't want us to go Shamar Stewart with the first pick and, you know, one of Abuka, Burden, McMillan,
Bond,
Golden, be on the board, and people go, oh, they are just tricking us. There's still options in the second. There's still options in the third. We've seen, I mean, Nico Collins, I think right now is one of the top five wide receivers in all of the NFL, not a first round pick. Obviously, first round picks are generally better than second or third round picks, but you can find a lot of talent throughout the entirety of the draft if you know who you're drafting and you get the right guy.
Whew. Jason Wilde, just moments ago on Twitter, would put an end to the 20-plus years of not taking a wide receiver in the first round if they actually wound up taking him, in reference to Ibuka. John Walker, 2002.
It is interesting that we're having this conversation, and this became a lot more real for people after it becomes Ibuka, just because people know who he is.
Well, I quoted it on...
Because Matthew Golden probably gets drafted ahead of him.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's at least looking that way.
So, the same thing we're saying about Ibuka that's going to cause a stir now but is Joshy, the same thing you could have said...
Josh, I said it on Friday's show, right? The former United States President of America, George W. Bush, said, fool me once, shame on you, fool me, can't get fooled again.
Yeah.
I think that's where Packers fans are at with the idea of a first-round wide receiver. That's why nobody's really buying into it. But this time around, it seems like there's a little bit more buzz to
I'll
this.
I'll tell you what.
Uh-oh.
On Wednesday, I'll be appearing on the weekly wager from the Pottawatomie Sportsbook, and I will be placing a wager on the Packers' first pick to be a wide receiver. You can get that at plus 300, I believe I last looked at. I will be putting money on that because now, as much as I think the wiser bet is defensive line or edge, it is smaller odds. I do think the Packers' first pick has a good shot of being one. So here's a scenario we need to figure also. Packers pick at 23. They don't love the value. They trade back maybe to the top of the second and then just take the best available of who's there, be it Golden, Ibuka, etc. We have a devastating night on Thursday with all the pomp and circumstance.
When they draft an offensive tackle.
When the once in a lifetime. No, they don't draft anyone. They trade out of the first round.
Yeah, yeah.
The once-in-a-lifetime event doesn't get culminated with a name being put up and a guy being talked about. We have to delay that conversation to Friday.
I already dislike the Packers, and with the amount of work that is going into this draft on my end, I would lose my mind. Like, I can't imagine that they don't take somebody. I think there's enough guys there that they like
them. They might
them.
Trade back.
Yeah,
they might trade
like
back,
30,
but they would stay in the first round, I would guess.
You'd guess. You never know.
You never know until it happens.
Sometimes pick 35 comes with enough added that you go, oh, we're going to risk it. We're going to see if he's going to make it to us.
And then give a little buzz early in day two. Keep people coming back. I'm just saying. Plus 300 over at Pottawatomie Sportsbook is wide receiver. National championship game tonight, Houston, Florida. Houston rolls as Duke collapses on Saturday night, and Florida really making themselves look good with a big win over Auburn. All business for Florida. I think Houston's riding a high. The Gators are only 1.5-point favorites. I got my money on the Gators, Joshy.
I'm going Houston. I think these teams are closer matched. I've been gambling on a lot of this. I think Florida, despite being in the championship game, has actually underperformed, and I just think they haven't met their match yet. Obviously, what's his name? Walter Clayton.
Walter Clayton.
Has been unbelievable. The first player since Larry Bird to score 30 points back-to-back in NCAA games. Florida's very good. It just feels like something's happening with that Houston team and that head coach and just whatever they got going on. I mean, they got dudes.
They do.
They got some dudes over there.
They sure do.
Florida certainly does as well. Florida has had some nail biters, has had some situations where you thought, I don't know about this team. What I have to decide between is there going to be the Duke hangover, and that was their national championship?
I think there might be.
I think there's a strong sense of that, but them as underdogs in that game, just beating the best team in the country, I'm going to ride with the underdog.
I like it. I'm just hoping for a good game, right? Because I mentioned it before. Right?
I think it will be.
I have watched a lot of college basketball this year, obviously a lot over the course of the last couple of weeks. I am sad to see it end because Saturday was a treat. Both games were good. You had some great highlights from all four teams, all four one seeds in the Final Four. And then to have your nightcap be a 13-3 run to end the game, and Duke incapable, the best team in the country that Josh, you just called them, incapable of inbounding the basketball for a minute straight. It was legitimately unbelievable. I've never seen anything quite like what we saw as Houston overcame Duke on Saturday night.
So that game was one of the best examples of sports being more than just the best players on the best teams. Certainly that helps in most cases. But you saw one team panic and not be able to handle the situation, and you saw the other be steady and just look like they knew what they were doing. They were down, but they didn't care. They felt comfortable. It was like one of those great equalizer moments where one team is prepared to be down and fighting for their lives and is going to stay in there, and Duke fully panicked.
They seized the moment.
Looked concerned. Like the look in some of their eyes when they would cut to him.
Dude.
And it's like they saw a ghost.
What the hell was that baseball pass at the end of the game?
Don't know.
That just made no sense to me whatsoever, but that's neither here nor there at this point. It's Gators and it's, what's Houston? They are the
Cougars.
Don't tell me.
Rawr.
Thanks, guys.
Well, you said,
the Cougars.
What's Houston? And then before you said, don't tell me, like, you got to go, don't
That's
tell
true.
Me what's
He's
Houston.
He's on delay, too.
How dirty you got tonight?
Honestly, I don't even know if I can watch this game. I'm a Duke fan.
Oh, Duke fan.
This
Also a Marquette fan while wearing a Wisconsin quarter zip.
Well, I mean, Wisconsin is part of the reason why I'm employed, since during the fall I produce the volleyball broadcast.
Hunter, I got a question.
Yeah?
Does Shaka Smart know that the transfer portal's open?
No. No.
You learn something new every day. We learn something new today. It's time for What We Learned, and my What We Learned is on that. Wisconsin transfers, 3.
Count them.
Marquette transfers, 0.
Yeah.
And this was something we said at the end of the year, a couple weeks ago. Shaka's got to evolve. He's got to hit the portal because he's losing some great talent. Like, their best senior class debatably ever at Marquette University is leaving, and they have not filled those holes. Wisconsin, on the other hand, losing Stephen Crowell, losing Max Klesmit, losing John Tonjay, backfilling.
And I believe they're all 4-star.
All 4-star transfers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Andrew Rohde, too, the local guy out of
there's
Virginia.
Certainly enough time, but the options are going to continue to get thinner and thinner, and I don't want to count them out. But
you can. It's okay.
The level of inaction has me thinking there's really not a focus on it, right? It's fair to think that. Like, maybe they'll get a guy who's a sophomore transferring, and they think, oh, he can be part of, you know, like a more Tyler Kolek-style transfer versus a mercenary John Tonjay transfer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're not doing anything. I have zero faith that Shaka will do anything. Like, I'm just...
The Doomsday fan is back, baby.
Well, it's just like, if he was going to do something, he would have done something already.
It's probably true.
They're not going to have a full roster if they don't hit the transfer portal.
No, they'll hit it to some capacity, but it might be underwhelming. Unlike the Badgers, which seemingly, I mean, they've got a top, I think it's 18 now, transfer class for next year.
It's pretty good.
Watch out, baby. Here come those Badgers. And John Blackwell will be back after it declared for the NBA draft last week.
Well, he signed with one of the agencies that you can like sign with and then go and work out at the combine. So he's right. he's basically just using it to work out with guys that will be in the NBA. Yep.
Exactly. Anybody else learn anything, or is that the end of our show?
I mean, you guys are going to make fun of me for this, but I'll say it. Joshy, if you remember back when you were the producer for Scalzo and Brust, Ben Brust used to play a video game a lot, especially during the pandemic, in Call of Duty and Warzone.
Back.
Verdansk is back, baby.
I don't know what that means. What's Verdansk?
Ask Ben on KBN about Verdansk being back. He'll know.
Call of Duty. It's one of the places that were popular. I only know this because one of the podcasts I listen to actually has an ad read that is Verdansk is back. I don't know what Verdansk is or what. I just know it's back. I didn't know it went anywhere. I didn't know it existed, but I know it's back.
Okay.
Well, welcome back.
So I'll explain it really quick. They do a battle royale game mode on a map that is in a city or area they call Verdansk. It was in from 2020 to middle of 2021, and then they changed the maps, and the game has gone downhill.
10 years after I was in middle school.
Yeah, I mean, everybody plays this game. Well, they were.
Were you?
Yeah.
No.
I wasn't either.
No. The last video game I think I played was the golf video game when it came out, and I was living in Madison in that time.
WWE 2K24.
My machine, I still have a PS3, has not been plugged in since I left Madison.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. Wow. If you told me to find it in the next, at home, you said you have 90 seconds, I wouldn't be able to locate it.
Okay, good.
It's in a box. It's there.
It's just... not exactly sure.
Let me tell you, Mussolini would not be too fond of me plugging in the old PS3 and firing some games and talking on my little headset. I'd get shamed.
Rightfully so.
Some say, some not.
I would say this, though. Hunter's wife was out of town this weekend.
But even when she is, like, I'm a grown adult. If I'm going to spend my time playing video games, I'll do that. We spend time together still.
Are you a headset guy?
Yeah.
The headset's so tough. The headset. Why? When I see somebody in the headset talking.
Yeah.
Why is the headset tough? I play with people that are on the other side of the country. What do you want from me?
Because I don't know why, but the headset infantilizes the whole operation.
Great word, Joyce.
It makes it seem like you're playing make-believe.
Yes. VR.
You got a guy behind you. Because don't they have, like, it's like a three, you can, like, give, like, number directions? 60! 60!
I mean, yeah, there's, like, the compass at the top.
Yeah. We're done here. That'll do it for us tonight. Thanks to Josh Albrecht. Thanks to Josh. Thanks to Hunter for sticking with us. We'll be back with you Wednesday. Joshy Mock Draft. Will Summers, Mr. Relevant Baseball Correspondent Wednesday. Big day Wednesday.
Is that guy getting a little big for his britches trying to call his shots?
Oh, yeah, big time. Oh. Yeah, yeah. I was just waiting for you to come back so you could humble him. So that's going to happen Wednesday. All right, we will talk to you then. Enjoy Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. If you're not already subscribed to Mr. Irrelevant, we will see you Wednesday. Peace.